People were very interested in doing it, but they tend to not know quite where to begin. So it was much easier if I went round and talked to them rather than them approaching me. And then they would tell me about someone who'd lived in the village 30 years ago and I would find them as well. So it just kept growing and growing.
And it was your husband that put you up to it, said, oh, Margaret will be in charge of that, she can do that.
Well, he's the chairman of the parish meeting, because the village is so small, we don't have a parish council, and the chairman of the parish meeting is always looking for volunteers to do working parties or whatever needs to be done. So I was a sitting duck.
The book's called The Village That Time Passed By, and it has taken quite a while to get it together. As we said, it's 12 years after the millennium when it was due to come out. Why did it take so long?
Well, the more I investigated what the village was like, the more history there seemed to be, and the more information came out. And I spent an awful long time in the archives in the local studies centre in Aylesbury. And then I went through all the censuses, the electoral registers, did family trees for some of the oldest villagers. So I went far beyond what we'd originally thought we'd do, but it seemed to me to make a better end product.
What's so special about this village that made you want to write a book?
I thought the people were fascinating. The current residents were very generous with their time and the effort they put into helping me do it. But the old families who used to live here and all the little cottages that have now been joined into bigger houses or barns that have been converted into houses. So it's got a real character of its own. And even now, although people tend to commute and there are no shops, no pub, no school, nothing, people, I think, are very community-minded. There's one man still lives in the village whose family have been here for I don't know how many generations. And although he lived away for a little while, he came back. And that's what we find, that families who have been here feel a great affinity with the place and are proud to have it on their birth certificates and want to come back. Several people have retired back here. So I think it is the kind of place that's hard to leave.
In the book as well, you do reveal a dark side to Drayton Beecham. There is a story of a murder.
Yes, I thought that was invented, and then I discovered that it did actually happen in 1839. But it was a particularly sad affair because the two men involved, the murderer and the one who was murdered, were the best of friends. But they had been drinking for many hours. The reports in the inquest and so on say that they'd had 12 pints of beer and 4 glasses of gin, but it varies according to the report. But they staggered out of the pub together, and it's thought that the one played a trick on the other by jumping out on him. And the chap who was jumped on got such a fright that he thought it was someone come to murder him, and he beat him so badly that he died, and was then distraught afterwards. But the court recommended leniency because he was so upset, and it was obviously the alcohol rather than an evil intent.
Now, the story of the village carries on through the book and even onto the back page, which is a beautiful picture, an aerial picture of the entire village.
Yes, that was taken by Dave Lee Travis, who lived in the village from 1979 to 85. And went up in Noel Edmonds' plane, apparently taking the door off and leaning out to take the photo. So we're very grateful to him for having let us use the photo in the book.